Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good, Josh. We're recording this on Mother's Day here in the States, so happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. But what better than Mother's Day is German football, the Bundesliga. We are going to take a stab at previewing the Bundesliga coming back.
Preview is a strong word, Brandon. That's not a word I would use. We are introducing the idea of Bundesliga talk. Let's leave it at that. You know, give us some wiggle.
We went and looked at the table for the Bundesliga, recognized a handful of names. I set up a fantasy team. This was my biggest achievement in the Bundesliga fantasy game thus far, is really pleased with my team name. So my name is Brandon, right? There's a team out there, Werder Bremen. And I kind of put two and two together, Werder Brandon, and I think it's really working for me.
That's not bad. I mean, you may find out later that it's like no Fuchs given or whatever, you know, in terms of its, you know, popularity.
Sure.
But
Ich bin ein Berliner. Isn't that the thing that JFK said?
Yeah, I can't remember. Is that what you were supposed to, what he was supposed to have said, or what he actually said? I can't
history,
remember.
It's lost to history, Josh.
That's true. Really does. Yeah.
As you said before we started recording, I can't be arsed.
No. This is the era. I mean, honestly, it is the strangest time to be alive. Anyone, certainly globally, it is the weirdest time for anyone under 80 years old, I would say. If you were born post 1945, we are living through right now. And I think the Bundesliga is just one tiny example of it. It is going ahead, as far as we know, this Saturday it kicks off. I think it's the 16th is when the 16th, actually kick off. Mm-hmm. There has already been a quarantine for a full club in the second division of the Bundesliga. So that's a slightly worrying sign. I mean, they are very much the canary in the coal mine right now in terms of sports coming back, especially team sports. I mean, things like the PGA Tour, you know, seems fine, mm-hmm. right? Give them all a golf cart, you know, you have golf carts right now. Why not, right? It's like a weird time.
You can't have a golf cart in the PGA. That's illegal. That was the whole thing with that guy who couldn't walk.
I remember that. But I'm saying that you could change the rules right now, because I don't think they can even have caddies, can they? And so are these guys like, you know, is John Daigle going to be walking around with 50 pounds worth of clubs? I mean, that seems...
Now, we brought up Caddyshack in our favorite sports movie podcast about a month ago, and Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack has this golf bag that actually propels clubs out of his bag, like jet propulsion style. So I think you don't even need caddies. If they had the technology in Caddyshack for Rodney Dangerfield to shoot clubs out of his bag at him, I think Tiger Woods could surely get this
out. At this point, that's 40-year-old technology. It should be completely standard for every club now. Should be rigged with every bag that is should be rigged with this. So so the Bundesliga is back. I mean, you know, So we'll talk a little bit about where we are with the league in a second. But just, you know, when I was really getting into soccer/football, when I was really getting into it about 10 years ago. I was like an all corners fan. You know, I was sort of trying everything out. The Premier League was the thing that I was the most into. It was the easiest thing to watch in the United States. I would have some dalliances with La Liga, a little bit with the Bundesliga, a little bit with Serie A. Not so much with the French football, although it was a fun time for French football about 10 years ago. A lot of different winners. And
you've been to Stade de France, if I remember correctly.
I have been to Stade de France. And I think, you know, once we started the podcast and we were talking about the Premier League every week, the Premier League became my overriding sports obsession, you know, because – of course, I have the baggage of supporting all these American sports as well, right? Like, too many sports, Brandon. You know, it's a lot.
Can't shake it.
Yeah. Well, now there's none. Like, what's going on? It's crazy.
are you saying there's some sort of conspiracy going on here?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, Brandon. Start in a lab, okay? I'm just saying it's I had a moment there where I was really interested in the Bundesliga, and that was it was Jurgen Klopp's Borussia Dortmund teams that really were like the catalyst for it. It was a really fun squad. Yeah. You know, won the league 2 years in a row. I can't remember what years those were, 2010 and 11, maybe. And a lot of those players went on to play for Bayern Munich.
Could forget? Yeah. I remember their run to the Champions League final where they ended up losing to
Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich, of course, but they beat Real Madrid on their way there. And there was that epic match from Lewandowski when he played for Dortmund. And he was the Haaland of the day, right? Like, just pass the ball to this guy and there's no way he doesn't score.
Yeah.
And it was great to see him sprout up as this global superstar from a team like Dortmund, who wasn't the Munich team. Which then, like, I guess we can get into this when we actually start talking about the Bundesliga proper. We've got some housekeeping to get to before then. But it's like Munich sort of spoils the broth any way they can.
Yeah.
They bring in Lewandowski, this hero for the underdog team, and make him just this destroyer of worlds.
Götze, I mean, you know, at one point, I mean, Götze is not really a serious player now, but I mean, at one point he was, you know, he scored the, you know, winning goal in a, you know, in the World Cup final, you know, I mean,
kind of a big player.
Yeah, kind of a big deal. And, you know, he was a player who, another player who jumped over to, you know, from Dortmund to Bayern. And so,
he's back at Dortmund now.
Yeah. He is back, but I don't think he's
shows you how far he's fallen.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I guess the point was like, so as you know, the thing about Bayern is like they got me out of it a little bit because I feel like if you're not going to follow a league super closely, you're just going to check in from time to time. It's like you kind of want to follow the most important matches. You know, you're like, okay, like let me check in on the biggest matches here. And when there's one team that's like 12 to 18 points ahead, you're like, well, there aren't really any big matches, right? I mean, there's like derbies and there's, you know, great fan experiences. And I would say that from a visual perspective, I actually think that the Bundesliga is the most fun league to watch. You know, I think that it's the best fans, and you know, certainly you know, I think that Dortmund in particular have, you know, one of the best stadiums and one of the best fan bases. And so I think what's cool about the Bundesliga starting early though is this particular year is a year when you have a lot of different teams that are viable contenders. I mean, Dortmund or Bayern Munich are ahead, but they're only 4 points ahead right now. And so it is, you know, by no means locked up, you know, 5 points ahead with 9 matches left to go, 4 points that is. So, yeah, I think that there's, you know, so anyway, we'll get into the Bundesliga thing in a minute, but I think of all the leagues to relaunch, I think this is a really exciting and interesting one because, you know, even a casual fan will be able to name a lot of players in the Bundesliga. But also I think you've got a little bit of a race here. And so it's a little bit of excitement just in terms of, even someone who doesn't follow the league at all, you can look at the table and say, okay, this team is 4 points back. This is the team I'm going to root for. This is the team I'm going to support just for fun. You know, let me become a temporary, you know, Leipzig fan just to kind of, you know, go for it. That's my general feeling about the Bundesliga. Do you have any general feelings or impressions? You've actually been to Germany.
I've been to Germany. I actually have a great Dortmund story. When I was in college, I was dating a girl who did a study abroad, a full academic year in Freiburg. Now, that's a great way to kill a relationship, is to go away, leave the home-based college town and go abroad for a full year.
Yeah.
It's just never going to cut it, particularly during college life, right?
Yeah.
So I went to visit her in Freiburg, and taking the train back home to get to the airport in Frankfurt, I was stuck in the train station at Freiburg the same evening that Dortmund had come to town. And I was approached by these Dortmund supporters who were getting their train out of Freiburg. And they immediately, like, without even exchanging any pleasantries, pegged me as an American. And they were like, you're an American. You're our friend now. We're going to buy you a beer and let's talk about life. And I remember trying to explain to them where I'm from. They're like, where are you from? And it's like, oh, I went to Michigan State University. That's where I go to school. They're like, never heard of it. Well, you know, it's in the state of Michigan. They're like, still not ringing any bells here. It's like, do you know Detroit? And they're just like, they lit up. They were like, Detroit, Rock City. Yeah. And, you know, I guess if I know anything about Germans, at least in a cliche sense, is that they love their heavy metal. So just Detroit was the bridge to the Dortmund fan. That's my only true experience.
Big MC5 fans, I'm sure.
Oh, and the Stooges and
little Richie Houghton, you know. I mean, Stooges, that's true.
Yeah. even Bawa Tabaw, who's a Kid Rock. Yeah. Even him. Yep. Madonna. Keep going. White Stripes. Sure.
Motown. No one rocks harder than Motown.
So I wish I could have actually seen some football played there. And what I believe what you said to me about the fans is true. And I think why Germany and German football clubs have such great fans is that the clubs go to great lengths to make the ticket prices affordable. And I think that's why they get the biggest crowds. And I like that egalitarian approach. And, you know, I think it's sort of the, like, I'm ashamed of being a carpetbagger Premier League fan, but I'm always harping on about the community aspect of the game. And I get the sense that Germany really appreciates that. I guess we can talk a little bit more about that when we get to our Leipzig discussion, but that's like kind of my overall thesis on Germany.
That's how I feel too. And I mean, I think it's, you know, the vast majority of the clubs are at least 51% fan owned. So it's sort of like the Green Bay Packers here in the United States, where you have a, you know, it's, they are run by the fans, and there are a couple exceptions to that, but in general, that is the case. So, you know, the question is, do you still get that vibe if you're watching in an empty stadium? I don't know. I mean, I think that will be fine. I actually think that the empty stadium thing will be, is a little overrated. I think that it'll be pretty easy to, have you seen this thing about the placards? Have you seen this?
No, what's that?
I know at least Dortmund's doing it. It's probably going to be more popular in other clubs as well. So you can, for $20, if you're like a season ticket holder for one of these teams, you can get a like a life-size placard cut out, and they will stand it up in the stadium during matches. So it's going to look – I can't tell if it's going to look cool or incredibly terrifying, like Twilight Zone level, like, you know, 20,000 leering – emotionless fans. Okay.
There is everything. There is one listener listening right now, and I want to hear from you to confirm that this theory is true, that will get this reference. And it is the Steve Martin movie, The Lonely Guy. And yeah. Do you remember this? Did you see this movie? There's a scene in which he hosts a party, but no one comes. So he's got it outfitted with all these cardboard cutouts of people. So this girl he's trying to impress comes by and sees through the window that the party looks like it's popping off. There are all these silhouettes in the windows, backlit. And that's basically what they're talking about with these cardboard standees in the stands, is it's The Lonely Guy, but for sports.
I actually found a screenshot right now too. He got them at the Lonely Guy's store at 81st Street in Lexington Avenue. So there you go. See, Dolly Parton is one of them. So that'll be really interesting. And Brendan, I feel like we're kind of burying the lead here too. There was a time when this was a dedicated fantasy podcast, and we are trying to bring that back right now. We have started a Bundesliga fantasy league exclusively for our Patreon supporters. And it just seemed a little easier to manage that way. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with this Bundesliga Fantasy League. And, you know, I think that let's make it Patreon only, and we'll sort of, it'll be a little more fun and less stressful if the season, you know, gets canceled, you know, 3 weeks in, because, you know, six of the teams get quarantined or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it is available exclusively to our Patreon supporters. We haven't decided what the winner is going to get. Maybe we should we just decide this in real time right now?
It's got to be something from the shop. We love the products in our shop.
Pick anything from the Always Cheating Patreon supporters shop. So that we've got t-shirts and We have multiple t-shirts and we've got some mugs and
we have some designs. I just need to get my butt in gear. We made up some swag designs that we took to the UK for a recent trip for stickers and whatnot. And I need to transfer those. I need to morph them into t-shirts. So maybe I can actually get that to happen before this Bundesliga season, if it ends, ever ends. And then we can have an even bigger selection for people to choose from.
So patreon.com/alwayscheating in any pledge level will get you into our fantasy Bundesliga league. And so, you know, that'll be kind of fun. Hopefully we can get as many of our Patreon supporters as possible. It'd be nice to get at least, I don't know, a few hundred into that league. And so, yeah, patreon.com/alwayscheating is where you can join. That also gives you access to our Slack network and bonus podcasts. You know, we were doing two a week during the regular Premier League season. I think it might be fun to do some extra ones now that we have, now that we'll have this Bundesliga fantasy content. It's kind of fun. Sure. You know, I mean, you and I were messaging about this a few days ago when we were setting this all up, and it reminds me of when I was first getting into the fantasy game, where I was just picking random players, you know, like just I had no idea who, you know, I didn't know who to captain. I didn't know who to pick, you know? And so there are some interesting like, variables too. Like, can you say anything about the like how the scoring works? Because it is a little bit different. I mean, you have the formations, which are similar to the fantasy game, but the captaincies are a little bit different. The money's a little different.
Yeah, it is cool. The captaincy was the first thing that jumped out at me as an exciting twist coming from the FPL perspective. So you don't have a captain in the Bundesliga fantasy game. You have a star player, and you don't just have a star player. You have three star players. So each match week, you pick a star player from the forward position, from the midfield position, and then a defender. And all three of those star players for you, they don't get double points. They get 1.5 points. So 150% of the points that they actually get were they not star player. So in some ways it's cool because it's spreading the risk around and it's giving you greater flexibility and opportunity, and maybe you can even be a little more creative. But on the other hand, I think this is what we keep coming back to with FPL, is it's just the highs and lows with FPL. The game is so perfectly calibrated to be just kind of basic that either it's all going to work one week or you're kind of just going to be flat. And that's what you kind of love about the traditional captaincy. So the Bundesliga, much like their approach to fan-owned clubs, is kind of egalitarian. And you're spreading that captaincy around your squad every week. You're choosing a defender, midfielder, and forward. Does that appeal to you, Josh, from an FPL manager perspective?
Yeah, I like it. It seems fair. It's thoughtful, a little bit different. I'm into it. I mean, we'll see how we feel when it actually happens. But it's, you know, just is this country ever going to put a wrong foot forward, Brandon? It seems like they're doing everything right.
Well, I mean, maybe we should dip into the history books and see if Germany has any black marks on them. Is a different thing. So it's the same budget structure as FPL, but instead of 100 million pieces of currency, whether it's dollars, pounds, Reichmarks, I don't know. it's 150. So you've got a 150 million budget, and then you're like, cool, I've got more money. But then you can look at the player pool and say Lewandowski, who's currently the league leader in goals scored, his price tag is over 20 million. So that's a huge chunk of change compared to what we're used to seeing in FPL. But then you have other players, like non-playing goalkeepers are as cheap as 1 million. So you have a star striker at 20 million and a non-playing GK at 1 million. So it's kind of overwhelming when you first get into the game to see like how far and wide you can, you know, sort of, I guess, allocate the budget. So that is, I think, going to be the biggest hurdle to people getting into that Bundesliga fantasy game for the first time, is how to utilize the budget.
I think that what makes it fun is that we're all in the same boat. Starts off in a week, right? So you have a week to get in there and noodle around and you make up a team. And so I think the pressure is off a little bit. You know, the fantasy game, it starts in July, whatever it is. You've got 6 weeks to work on this thing. You know, it's like there's an element of shame almost, you know, if game week one kicks off and you're not ready, you know, and like, you're, you know,
yeah.
But in this case, it's like I can't even name more than 25 players, you know. And so it's, you know, it's hard to and most of those are like some of the most expensive players. So when it comes to filling out my team, I've been tinkering around and reading some websites. And so, you know, I think it's kind of fun because, I mean, A, I think that getting into fantasy is a great way to get into a league in general. You know, we all, anyone who has taken fantasy seriously before knows that, that, you know, getting into fantasy is just a really, it's so immersive. You know, you end up learning every team, every player. You know, if you often you end up learning a lot about, you know, the sort of cultural significance of the town where the club is played, you know, where they play. I mean, you know, I know more about Brighton, you know, the town of Brighton yeah. than I ever would have, you know, if they weren't in the Premier League. So,
yeah. That is okay. Like just to jump in my, like basically week upon week socialist manifesto is this is why I so don't want the European Super League is I want, that's the appealing part about the domestic leagues is discover what you didn't know about Brighton. What is it about the North Country? And that sort of a thing.
I agree. I mean, you know, this is not going to be like last week where you and I argue about like the nature of capitalism and sports. Uh-huh. But like, there was an article that came out yesterday. I think it was in The Guardian. And it was like, you know, it's going to take 10 years for the sport to get back to where it was. And I was like, awesome. That's great because where it was isn't that awesome. Like it was, you know, I mean, unless you like billionaires taking over every single club in the Premier League, no matter how small, and many of the championship clubs, unless you like, you know, you're the top four clubs in every country splitting off and forming a European Super League. And suddenly every, you know, if you're American, every match that you want to watch is at 2:30 on a Wednesday, or, you know, or it's on the weekend and like, it's all just superstars, you know, it's just like, you know, so I don't know. I mean, like, obviously, like, I don't want clubs to fold. But if it ends up becoming sort of a return to a more regional sport, I just don't see that as something that, like, a lot of people are really going to be sad about. I mean, sorry to the billionaire owners who've lost some team value or whatever. And sorry to the players who may go from making $200,000 a week to $165,000 a week. Or, you know, it's like, it's just not anything I can get worked up about because I think the sport in a lot of ways was better 10 years ago.
The hope would be that it does go that direction and not the direction of all the little clubs, all the hyper local clubs have to fold and disappear. And all that's left are the, oil barons of the world. So that's a hope. Josh, we actually have a question from a listener here pertaining to the Bundesliga. This comes from our listener, John, who asked to get properly into the Bundesliga spirit. I have a question to ask. How are your German language skills, or at the very least, your German accents? Do we need an essential phrase book, and are German snacks and beer required watching for the games? So I've been to Germany. I didn't pick up any language skills while I was there. All I know how to say is Scheiße, and I expect I'll be saying that a lot while watching these Bundesliga games play out. I do love a Kolsch beer. I like a German Pilsner. There's something so appealing about Lederhosen and that beautiful golden color of their beer, and I think that might play into my Bundesliga weekend ritual.
I mean, German, pretzels and beer. I mean, come on. That's just a standard. That's just delicious all the time. I've been drinking Peroni, which, as you and I learned on our little online poker game last week, is an Italian, it's a German style Italian pale lager. Okay.
Yeah. The access of power is still in your supermarket beer aisle.
Triple Alliance lives when it comes to the Peroni. It's kind of a, the snacks and beer, that's borderline required. I mean, I'm pretty pumped, to be honest. I mean, 9:30 on Saturday next week, put the kids to bed, Brandon. It's on, you know, it's a, if you keep them in bed, I don't know, 9:30 in the morning. I don't know if you can put them to bed that early, but think about it, consider it, because there's a lot of, kicks off with a Ruhr Derby too. So a lot of excitement.
Is that like the Ruhr Juror? Rural Juror?
The Ruhr Derby is Dortmund. This is Brandon. This goes back to our long forgotten podcast, Crosstown Derby, which, you know, you and I did a handful of episodes of before we abandoned it. It's like 7 years ago. Dortmund Schalke. And I don't know. I can't remember. They play this upcoming weekend. I'm not sure exactly what day it is. So as far as the other things, I don't fake German accents, I think, sound dorky, and I try not to do them. German language skills, I have none. Although if I were to go back, I would have taken German instead of Spanish, because people who take Spanish classes at American colleges are cheaters, and they all and everyone taking Spanish classes. I had a 2-year requirement for it. Everyone had taken 4 years in high school or just spoke perfect Spanish, and I was the only idiot who entered a Spanish class not actually speaking any Spanish, and it was a miserable experience. And I would have much rather just gone and taken a German class where nobody spoke any German, and learned it with everybody else. I probably would have done a lot better. Spanish has not served me well at all. It's been useless.
I definitely took 3 years of French in high school, then walked into college and purposely, intentionally threw my placement test so I could get placed back into French 101, because, you know, I didn't trust the public education system enough to not like just reinforce the basics. And I was like, start me at ground zero so I can reinforce the basics of the French language. But my German accent, I think the only German accent I could replicate would be like from an Indiana Jones film, like, oh, Mr. Jones.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's German, but that's the best I can do.
That's true. I don't know how you don't sound like a Nazi if you're an American trying to do a German accent. It's
people are going to call me out for saying Mr. Jones, like the Counting Crows song, and not Dr. Jones. Like, because the only other thing would be
Uter from The Simpsons is like the only other one that I can think of right now. There's some Simpsons Halloween episode where all the children are getting like like turn into food at the school. Have you ever seen this one? And it's like the parents show up and they talk to Principal Skinner. There's like stop the small talk. That is Uda. And the mom says, "We just want closure." And so that is the extent of my German accent. And I will never again deploy my German accent.
That's great. We respect cultures. We respect Germans, and that's the end of that discussion. We also respect our Patreon supporters madly, deeply, truly. I put truly out of order there. But just a reminder to anyone who is currently a Patreon subscriber, of course, our payments are suspended. They were suspended in April, continue to be suspended through May, and of course the reason is we don't want you to feel like you have to stop supporting the cheaters during this very chaotic and uncertain time. We just want you to stay and be part of our community, and when the time comes for us to reassess, we'll get with you and we'll reassess. Of course, if you want to be a part of that Bundesliga fantasy league that Josh mentioned earlier, you can go to patreon.com/oascheating and pledge at any level, and it's just a one-time entry fee to get in there and become a supporter of the cheaters, and we truly appreciate it. And if you're currently a Patreon supporter, we'll be shooting you an email about that Bundesliga entry code, and we'll post it to the Slack as well.
All right, Brendan, let's take a quick break, and we'll get back, and we're just going to answer a few questions, some of them about the Bundesliga, some of them general questions about where we are right now in the Premier League season. Brandon, with no Premier League, no NBA, no NHL, no Major League Baseball, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be wrong. For one thing, Brandon, the Bundesliga is back. There is finally an actual sport to bet on. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, they're bringing Vegas to you. Missing the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. You can also bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and, as I mentioned before, the Bundesliga. It's back. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Use promo code BLUEWIRE to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. Bet online, your online wagering solution. Brandon, once again, that's promo code BLUEWIRE, BLUEWIRE, no space.
All right, we got another one here for you guys. Are you looking to last longer and go a few extra rounds? Go to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. And since they're chewable, they work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line. Blue Chew's online physician is free of cost. And once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. I love discreet now, Josh. I mean, it's less that I need these packages to be discreet. It's more I want to be surprised. What's in here? I love surprising mail.
That's true.
And if it's
any
if it's
mail Blue... at all right now, it mixes things up.
Imagine if it were Blue Chew. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's B-L-U-E, wire, all one word. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BLUEChew.com. And promo code Blue Wire.
Brandon, we're back. Bundesliga. And, you know, you and I learn from our mistakes sometimes. We did a series of World Cup preview pods a couple of years ago that were fun to record and utterly worthless because we were we were boning up on like, you know, defenders from the, you know, I don't even know, like Uruguayan national team and trying to talk with confidence about them. And so, you know, the Bundesliga was just approved to play matches like literally like 3 days ago, I think it was Thursday when I finally went through. And so, you know, we're not going to sit here and pretend that we have weeks and weeks of, you know, knowledge built up. Certainly if you look at it through a fantasy lens, even less so, right? So
if you want to know who the best fourth midfielder in the fantasy game is, we cannot help you.
No, it's probably like the third midfielder on Bayern Munich or something, you know, who knows? So let's just quickly, you know, I know a little bit about the teams at the top. The thing is, like, it's a smaller table. The Bundesliga has 18 teams, so it's a little easier to follow. It's, you know, 34 game seasons, about 38. And so the teams at the top, you have, I mean, I guess, you know, this will be remedial for anyone who follows this stuff pretty closely, but at the top you have Bayern Munich, who have won, I believe, something like 7, maybe 8 league titles in a row. They have been, you know, utterly dominant on the Bundesliga for years and years and years.
The Celtic of the Bundesliga.
Yeah, exactly. The Celtics from the 60s of the Bundesliga with okay. with
Kevin McHale at starting forward for Bayern Munich.
I was thinking Bill Russell, but McHale was a little later, Brandon, not to be
I was thinking here, of the Scottish footballing team, Celtic, but you know.
It was not until just now that I realized that was what you meant. But yeah, it's a little bit like that. Yeah. They're, you know, they're a really interesting team, you know, Bayern Munich in general, because they were, you know, club that really, they're not like, you know, one of these clubs like an Arsenal or, I don't know. I am trying to think of another, like, you know, Aston Villa or, you know, where they've just been around for, you know, 100 plus years. You know, they really rose to prominence in the early 70s, kind of right after the dominance of Ajax. And they won 3 Champions Leagues in a row after Ajax had just done it. And those Bayern Munich teams of the early 70s are, you know, classic teams. And of course, many of those players also won the World Cup in 74 too. So, you know, they were, you know, so they've been a massive club for about 50 years now. And, but in the last decade or so, they've been kind of the dominant force, built, you know, firmly around stealing Borussia Dortmund's best players, as far as I can tell. That is probably my, like, you know, grumpy outsider perspective, but,
sure.
But they're, you know, they're really, I mean, obviously they're, they've, you know, that Pep was there. They are, I mean, of course I'm selling them short because they are, you know, incredibly, talented at, you know, acquiring talent and, you know, they made 3 Champions Leagues in a row. They won one, about 10 years ago, 8 years ago, maybe. You know, but so, I mean, the team has changed a lot over the last couple of years, in particular. I mean, Lewandowski is kind of the one major player who is, you know, who's still kind of there from the run of players that you may have been a little more familiar with, right? I mean, I think that there's, you know, it's and they were actually a little, they were not leading the league until I think just like maybe it was sometime in March. I don't have the exact date handy, but they were, I don't think they've lost a match since early December in the league. And, but they were well behind Dortmund and Leipzig for most of the season. And so this is not a classic, like, who's the PSG kind of thing where they're 18 yeah. points ahead and just rolling. Yeah. And, you know, France actually went ahead and just gave PSG the title. They were just like, yeah, you guys just won it. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, you, and yeah. you mentioned Arsenal, and I think the player that's really grown up this season at Munich is Serge Gnabry. And he had that right. amazing showing. I forget who they were playing against. Where in the Champions League, where Gnabry just owned for that entire match. So it's like another nail in the coffin of Arsene Wenger's legacy. couldn't quite make it work with this world-class player at Arsenal. I mean, okay, I'm gonna start all sorts of firestorms there with that comment. But yeah. The other guy I always think of with Munich is Thomas Müller. And he is one of those guys where you look at and you think, like, okay, so you and I, we watched this 80s movie, Heathers, on Friday night. And there's yes. something about 80s movies set in high schools where all of the jocks all look like they're 50 years old to me. Like, they all have receding yeah. hairlines, just old-ass dudes, but they're meant to be, like, 17 years old. Thomas Müller is, like, a high schooler from an 80s movie. He looks like he's 20 years older than he actually is. He's still, like, in the prime of his career. Yeah, he's just 30. Signed a new contract and... it was a great player for them still.
Yeah, that's a good shout. And yeah, I mean, if you look, you know, kind of up and down this team, there are, I mean, obviously you have Manuel Neuer and Philippe Coutinho is he's on loan this year from Barcelona. And obviously, you know, any Premier League fan is familiar with Coutinho. And you've got the one, the, you know, the player who stuck out for me because you and I did Champions or World Cup fantasy is Ben Pavard is a 24-year-old defender for
the French Aaron Wan-Bissaka.
Yeah, exactly. He kind of, yeah, I like that. And I haven't, like, you know, been following the league closely enough to know if Pavard is built on his incredible showing for France in the World Cup. But he is, you know, I'm looking through transfer market here. He's highly valued. So presumably he's still doing well. But, you know, David Alaba and Joshua Kimmich. Now, tell me what you know about Joshua Kimmich, Brandon. That's the one that I'm going to need you to fill me in a little bit. And
I mean, Kimmich is definitely a player that I should know more about. But that's like for every episode of Football Rambles on the continent I skipped is why I can't really tell you that much about Kimmich. So that's where my yeah. continental knowledge really falls short.
So do you have any thoughts on Bayern before we move on to all the non-Bayern clubs?
I mean, if you're looking to build a fantasy team for Bundesliga, I think Lewandowski is really the one player that you have to put your eye on because he's leading the league in goals, but he's really expensive. And so it's like the rule of City and Liverpool. Munich dominates the league. All their players are going to be super expensive. So don't overthink it. Go for the obvious players. And I think that will hopefully bear fantasy fruit.
So, you know, yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, if you're looking at through a fantasy lens, I'm trying to like split the difference here a little bit. I feel like some people are just going to just want to know a little bit more about the Bundesliga just so they have something to watch on Saturdays. Other people are interested in the fantasy thing. And so we'll kind of wind, you know, back and forth through this a little bit. Borussia Dortmund is in second place, 4 points behind Bayern Munich. And this is probably the team that I would imagine most of the kind of neutrals will be rooting for so many reasons. I mean, especially anyone who's a Premier League fan or even, you know, who's English. You know, for one thing, it's Jurgen Klopp's old team. They're just, far enough off the table, right? 4 points back that you can very much, it's very easy to conceive of them, you know, still winning the league. Jadon Sancho has been incredible. Arguably the best player in the Bundesliga this season. He's only 20 years old and, you know, is certainly going to move on at some point. Erling Haaland, sort of everyone kind of fell in love with him in his, you know, appearances in the Champions League before they ultimately got knocked out by PSG. So,
player. There's one other player for Premier League fans. And I know this season, anyone who plays FPL has felt an Eden Hazard shaped hole in their heart. Who do they blame their season's failings on? There's no one to blame them on at this point. Now you can play Fantasy Bundesliga and blame everything on Eden's brother, Thorgan. Thorgan Hazard is actually not bad.
No, I was surprised. Thorgan is a better player than I realized. He's like, I was looking at the fantasy game and I was like, wow, he's like eighth ranked forward overall. That's pretty solid. Who's the eighth ranked forward in Premier League fantasy? Like, as far
probably
as
like Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, something like that. That's pretty good. You know, that's like, I mean, Calvert-Lewin is he'd fetch a decent amount of money on the open market, you know, so
Schalke would go in for him in a heartbeat. I'm sure of it too.
Marco Reus has been there forever.
Can I talk about Marco Reus just for a moment? Reus, because he stands out to me because he is like the, if a player were Fulham in the Bundesliga, I feel like it's Marco Reus. He is always a joy to watch, but there is always something holding him back from true success. He was never able to really truly break out at the World Cup for Germany. He's never become the sensation that, like, you think of that period in which Dortmund were winning league titles in the Bundesliga. Reus was a pivotal part of that.
Yeah.
And he was a pivotal. I remember him kind of pulling all the strings in that final against Munich. But it just hasn't really happened. We were talking about that transition that all great players make from Dortmund to Bayern Munich. And Reus is, you know, I guess he's like the Steven Gerrard type where he's true to Dortmund. And he's never moved on. And therefore, he's just never really become a brand, to put it one way.
Yeah, and I don't really have anything else to add to that. I was just looking over this team right now, the Dortmund team, and just thinking about Jadon Sancho a little bit and how, first of all, do you want to guess? I don't know if you're on his transfer market. I'm on the transfer market page for Dortmund right now.
I'm on the Bundesliga app.
Okay.
So I can tell you how much, what they cost in the fantasy game. That's
okay. I just want to know, what do you think that Jadon Sancho's estimated market value is right now? If some club came in to buy him from Dortmund, how much would they have to pay to buy Jadon Sancho?
120 million.
Wow, that's close. 128 million.
Nice.
That is a lot. That is a lot, though. That's 50 million more than Erling Haaland's current market price.
That's great. Give that another season, and I'm wondering who's leading in that race. I mean, the pressure has really got to be on Sancho at this point, particularly when you have a player like Haaland that's just come up on your team in the latter half of the season, just kind of keeping your own value on the rise.
It's so interesting, too. Like, you know, I don't really know enough about Sancho, you know, how he ended up playing for. I expect to learn more. I'm sure he'll be written about a lot in the next week or two. You and I were both a little surprised that there weren't more articles being written right now about the Bundesliga. Some of them are written in this kind of hand-wringing way, like, should this be happening? And that's a reasonable question to ask. It's not one I'm particularly interested in discussing on this podcast. Maybe because I'm just so like fried after 9 weeks of staying at home with nothing to watch on TV that I'm like, you know, they're going to play. So,
sure.
You know, but yeah, I mean, how would, you know, 20-year-old English player ends up playing for Dortmund and, you know, suddenly is a, you know, a massive star. And I think that, you know, even if you're not super interested in the Bundesliga, it seems almost inevitable that, yeah, I mean, maybe he ends up going to a Barcelona or a Real, you know, just because that's where all the money and the massive stars go. But you would assume a 20-year-old English player is inevitably going to make his way back to the Premier League. And it's just a question of whether he ends up at Chelsea, Man United or Man City, right? Possibly Liverpool. They would probably wouldn't spend that much money on a player.
Yeah, I think Chelsea would be an interesting destination for him if the whole because there that's where you kind of have the Spurs light. You know, there was a moment there where Spurs had most of the heart of the England team with, you know, back when Eric Dier was actually a player and Dele Alli and Harry Kane, of course. And now Chelsea has like an even younger, greener version of that with Frank Lampard managing with, you know, Abraham and Mason Mount. God, I like all of these players are like fading like a Back to the Future photograph in my mind right now.
You know, I watched that yesterday. Bizarrely.
You watch Back to the Future. Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on there. Yep.
But, I mean, it seems like all signs might point to Manchester United, given the way they're building that team at the moment, which would be fun to see
as
a neutral.
Yeah. So I think Dortmund, for so many reasons, is – Emre Can, of course, Brian, you love Emre Can. So I assume that you're pretty excited about that too.
Sure.
Axel Witsel, a huge Witsel fan. Witselhead, if you will.
Axel Witsel is definitely like the guy when you're watching Belgium, you're like, huh, okay.
Cool hair. Kind of like poor man's poor man's
Leroy Sané.
I was going to say Fellaini, but yeah.
Oh, shit. more on brand for the Belgian flag, for sure. All right, so then there is RB Leipzig. Should we talk about Leipzig now?
Yeah, and we're not going to do this for all 20 teams, by the way, because that would be impossible. But Leipzig is...
I'm going to run out of things to say in like 5 minutes, too. So
yeah, the two things to know about Leipzig is, one, they are... they're loathed by everybody, it seems. And I think there's some complicated East and West German issues there at play. I think that the Bundesliga has historically been dominated, you know, even since integration 21 years ago, has been dominated by West German teams. And they're sort of the first East German team to...
31 years ago. Well, like 89, not 99.
Not, you're right, of course. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, so 30, let's say 30 plus years ago, Brennan. Yeah. And so I'm not sure if an East German team has won the league since Germany was unified. And so I think that that's part of it. There's also the whole Red Bull thing. You know, kind of, they're like a Man City kind of team, right?
Sure. Yeah.
And I know that they've sort of found clever ways to get it. I've actually read about Leipzig a little bit. There was a lot written about them a couple of months ago when they were top of the table. And, you know, there's this feeling that they're sort of circumventing the rules a little bit. Obviously, there's this kind of Red Bull brand that you, that you see all over the place now. Of course, we have New York Red Bull, which is owned by the same ownership group. There's also Red Bull Salzburg. They have to go by RB Leipzig, and the RB does stand for Red Bull. And that's something that the Bundesliga mandated. So
doesn't
the whole
stand for like ball sports or something like that? Right, yeah, claim Russo, it stands
yeah,
for
Russo ball sport. Yeah, exactly. It's something like that, but it's clearly, you know, but it has Red Bull, like it's got the logo on the kit, it's you just, know? So
it's outrageous. It's absolutely outrageous.
Yeah. The other thing to note about RB Leipzig is they probably have the best striker this season in the Bundesliga in Timo Werner, and Timo Werner is a interesting young player. And the reason that you, the listener, may be especially interested in Timo Werner is because there is some heavy heat, Brandon, that's directing Timo Werner to Liverpool in the near future, and so. Mm-hmm. It'd be really interesting to see what happens there. He's already said,
they speak German.
There's already been...
Jürgen Klopp and Timo Werner. I'm going to bring the German accent.
Took a while.
Thread it through.
Wow. Took a while for you. I hope you're going to cop my Simpsons accent from earlier. No, you can keep it in. Everyone should know how lame I am. It was, so he's a young player. He's already gone on record to say that, that he will not be going to Bayern Munich. He that is not a place that he plans to go. So, I think that Werner. I mean, that's sort of really where I, you know, where it ends with me, and as far as my Werner knowledge goes. But I know that he's highly regarded.
I regard Timo Werner, and he was the linchpin in my strike force for my World Cup fantasy team. I was quite disappointed then to see Germany flame out in such spectacular fashion.
Yeah.
But I think it does tell you that that German team went into that World Cup with Timo Werner as their starting striker, how much faith they had in him. But I'm at odds with this Leipzig team because I am like totally there with you on the concerns about the, you know, global corporate dominance and all of that. But I look at the individual players and I see a lot to like. And I think because Leipzig has done so well throughout the first two thirds of the season, when we're at the Black Horse and they're second screening a Bundesliga match, you're seeing a lot of Leipzig. And I think it's also like it's that they play well. I see Werner, I recognize him, and then they have other players that have like distinguishing characteristics, particularly this guy Marcel Sabitzer, who plays in the midfield, and he has this like he's got this like weak mustache, I guess we could say, and longish hair.
Yeah,
but he strikes me as he immediately jumps out to me as a fantasy midfielder in that he's doing fantasy things. But you don't really know who he is, but he's still doing fantasy things. And I get the sense that Leipzig is just filled with these guys who have been plucked from whatever smaller club they were playing for, and they've all been put together. It's kind of working for them.
Yeah.
And they are kind of being cast as villains just because it's the club that they play for.
Well, your boy, Angelino, Brandon, is now playing for Leipzig. So I assume you're pretty excited about that. I know you're a big Angelino head, big Angelino supporter. So, so that's a fun detail.
Oh, and Ampudu, Chelsea, that young Chelsea star. Speaking of distinguishing characteristics, with the largest dreadlocks you've ever seen. Small man, large dreadlocks. He's now at Leipzig.
So Borussia Mönchengladbach is in fourth place, and I'm going to kind of let you take it away with this one. So, you know, tell me what you know about Mönchengladbach, what you like, what you don't like. Go deep. And I'm here to listen.
Great. I mean, we talked about making this like a mini episode unto itself.
Yeah.
Because we definitely could have, you know, gotten other sponsorship just to really boost the Mönchengladbach, extended Gladbach verse.
Yep. Yeah. It's part of the Scott Bakula verse. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So close your eyes, Josh, and I want you to spell for me Mönchengladbach.
Is it? I don't even know. I'm going to get stuck on the second letter, I think. Is it M O?
Go on.
Okay. M O N C H.
No peeking.
M O N C H E N.
Uh-huh.
Mönchen, and then Gladbach.
You got it. Yes. Actually, on a technicality, you didn't get it because you didn't express that there is an umlaut over the O after the M. And you've lost on a technicality. I would have used it in a sentence had you asked
me. This is like the quiz show that we've been doing. You did not get the correct shoe size for the player, and so you were
right. The Premier League pub quiz with our good friend James Alcott. Check it out every Sunday, 1 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. No, 1 p.m. New York Standard Time. It's 6 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time for that Premier League pub quiz. Mönchengladbach, they're in fourth position, and that's really all I know about them. Their logo is like this black diamond. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's Mönchengladbach. I think that Michael Bradley played for Borussia Mönchengladbach. So that is one reason I know a little bit about this, or, you know, I know
of them.
Of them. Yeah. And there's sort of, I feel like Mönchengladbach and Bayer Leverkusen, who are in fifth, are kind of those perennial, like, they're kind of the Arsenal Spurs type, you know, squads in the Bundesliga, where they're not in terms of just players, but just in terms of their table position, where it feels like they're consistently in that, like, fourth place, third place, fifth place spot, you know, kind of like pretty consistently in the Champions League, not necessarily, you know, going for the league very often. It really does feel like most of the years it's a two-horse race between Dortmund and Bayern Munich.
So that leaves us in the remaining, like, sort of European positions, Bayer Leverkusen and FC Schalke. And again, I don't have much to say about these clubs. Schalke has seen a number of Americans go through their ranks, as have a lot of these Bundesliga clubs. Yeah. Which is great. I mean, obviously, Pulisic came from Dortmund. Josh Sargent plays at Wolfsburg. And what is the name of the midfielder who plays at Schalke right now? I'm going to – you talk while I look it up because I'm blanking on the name right now.
Okay. Is he really good? Or is, oh, Weston McKennie.
Yeah, Weston McKennie. Yeah. Exactly. Yep. That's who I'm thinking of. I mean, I feel like Schalke used to be, at least 5 years ago, they were always in the Champions League. I'm blanking on another American player. Who was the other guy with the German, with the Jones? What was his name? Shoot.
This is just great audio content. I'm not sure who you're thinking of, but it's
who cares? Nobody cares.
Speaking of Americans, actually, we didn't mention on Borussia Dortmund that Claudio Reyna's son is playing for Dortmund right now too, and is a really highly touted young player and another player to watch. That's kind of fun, right? Having another Reyna, Giovanni Reyna is his name.
Reyna was one of my favorite midfielders to ever play for the U.S. Just like a great passer, just team leader for sure.
Yeah, and I think he goes by Gio Reyna, but Giovanni Reyna is 17, kind of one for the future too. There's just like so much. There's so much to recommend Dortmund. It almost makes you want to pick somebody else just to be a little bit different. The other frustrating thing about Dortmund as a like very casual fan of Dortmund is that they are just classically bad at the back. It seems, I feel like every time that you and I are at the Black Horse and there's a dirt match on, like they like run out to like a 3-0 lead and somehow they're down 4-0 by the 84th minute. It just feels like that's like consistently an issue with them.
Well, isn't that that's my understanding of the league in general, is that they're not known. The Bundesliga is not known for great defense. It's more of an all action atmosphere. So, I mean, maybe that points to if you're short change when you're building your fantasy team, maybe trim a little in the back because you're not going to have a lot to show for it.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I think that makes sense.
It's a guess.
I'm trying to think. I wish I had a player to name who focus on the attackers. I guess that's, treat it like the Dutch league, focus on the any defender who scored a couple of goals, Benjamin Pavard. I think from there, it's a bunch of teams that we didn't really know much about. I was trying to think who our friend Eric Freeman, which club does he support? Do you remember? It's Frankfurt, right? Eintracht Frankfurt.
I think it is Eintracht Frankfurt. Yeah. Who's currently sit 12th position. So there's, is there anything to recommend there? Eric, let us know.
please let us know if you have if you have any deep thoughts in the Bundesliga, let us know. We'll happily help you spread the word about your Bundesliga content.
One team in the Bundesliga most likely to be a Star Wars character is
Fortuna Dusseldorf.
Dusseldorf for sure. You can find Bib Fortuna in Jabba's palace, and you can also find Fortuna Dusseldorf working on the Death Star 2.
I always thought Werder Bremen was a cool name too. Werder Bremen. And I feel like maybe they're in a relegation spot right now, Brandon. That's not normally where you'd find
Werder Bremen. It's not good for Werder Brandon either.
No, Werder Brandon. So maybe, if you're looking for something to root for, maybe it's to get Werder Bremen out of those relegation spots, Brandon. We can't have them relegated. They're simply too important to the league. FC Köln, or Cologne, as we typically pronounce it in English, is where Lukas Podolski came from. And so I've always sort of liked them a little bit. Just I always liked Lukas Podolski. I felt like he played as hard as he could. He just wasn't that good. He was as good as Lukas Podolski could be. And I like that about him.
Also in the starting 11 of players who play with a smile on their face. So yeah, I always appreciated him for that.
Yeah, me too. I always liked him. There is your Bundesliga table preview, Brandon. We've got a couple of questions though. Okay. So it was more of a comment, but just a note. Second tier side, Dynamo Dresden have placed their entire squad and coaching staff into isolation for 2 weeks after two players tested positive for the coronavirus. This is the first time I've heard about this particular virus. If it's bad enough that players are in quarantine, Brendan, that's not a good sign. So I don't know what they're dealing with over there in Germany. So do you know anything about the virus, what it does? Tell me what you know. I know you're an epidemiologist, but if there's anything you can fill me in on, that'd be really useful.
Yeah. I mean, if you could just keep 2 meters away from your nearest footballing playing partner, that would be smart. Advised, yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. Don't spit, don't sneeze, don't cough while you're playing football. That would be recommended. Also, Dresden, just, you know, there were the bombings that happened during the war, and now this. I just, like, what does Dresden have to do to catch a break here? It's really abominable.
I don't know. Yeah. So there were some comments from the Bundesliga first division about this, and they said, one, that things are still going to go ahead as scheduled. I kind of admire their sort of commitment to doing this, despite how kind of insane it seems.
It's kind of like they should change it. They should put a giant like X in like spray paint in front of Bundesliga, like it's the extreme Bundesliga, like, and like everyone's Liga drinking MX. Mountain Dew on the sidelines, like the X Games, very much so.
I guess the MX just stands for Mexico, so that's not quite the same. But I always thought League MX sounded cool, Brandon, so the idea still applies. So I don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, it seems almost inevitable that one player from one of these 18 Bundesliga teams is going to come down with the coronavirus or be exposed to somebody. I think that it's they're going to allow up to 300 people in the stadium for these matches. So that, I guess, will include teams, trainers, officials, TV people. I could see
press officers, press officers, probably.
Yeah, so there's a billion different things. Yes, here you're gonna get security outside, just to keep people out. I'm sure ultras will try to get in, and so there's lots of, someone's gonna set up all those placards, Brandon. There's a lot going on. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, either you're gonna have 300 people in the middle of a pandemic and no one's gonna get this seems a little unlikely, but who knows? I don't know. Let's go for it. You could ruin all the fun by thinking about how this is going to not last, or you could just embrace it and say, you know what? Let's see if we get any matches at all. I mean, I assume there is just fistfuls of revenue available if you can even do one more weekend, right? It's like every weekend you can squeeze out of this season is probably worth tens, if not, more, hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's a...
Just one more job, yeah. Josh. One more bank heist, and then we're just going to the islands. Like, we'll never be heard from again.
Every weekend's going to be like Heat. It's going to be very, very interesting. So we got a couple of listener questions, Brandon. FPL Chancer said, this actually sort of ties with what I was talking about earlier. Are Dortmund still a hipster choice for neutrals, or are they too mainstream now? And then he said, how do you feel about the Red Bull imprint on Salzburg, Leipzig, and any of the brands doing this in other leagues moving forward? So let's tackle the first one first. Are Dortmund still a hipster choice? Are they too on the nose?
Well, I mean, if you've been kind of doing the Dortmund hipster thing for the last decade, then it's probably soured a bit. I mean, like all hipster things do, it's like discovering a band and then eventually the band is going to hit big. And is it that the band isn't good anymore, or is that you actually wanted something different from Dortmund than what they're actually offering?
Yeah.
I think
are there still Napoli hipsters? Probably not. Right. That was a fun thing for a while.
It was a fun thing for a while. And that soured in different ways, I think, but I think if you were not following the Dortmund story for the last decade and you're just coming to it, I think there's still a lot that they have to offer for a new fan, because it's just a testament to the power of Bayern Munich is that even as successful and interesting as Dortmund have become, they are still second fiddle, and they will always then draw in that new fan. And also their kits just look super dope, black and yellow, and their fans are amazing.
Yep.
That shine has not gone off of this club.
No, I agree. And like, again, this is a temporary, this is a summer fling, Brandon. Okay. So let's just just pick the fun one. You know, it's like go with the sure thing. You know, treat it like a
pick one girl at the dance that you want to dance with, and you know, you make sure it's a good pick.
Treat it like a John Cusack movie. Just go for it, have fun. The Red Bull imprint and the Salzburg Leipzig thing. Yeah, I mean, I think we both feel the same way. That blows. You know, it's on the Red Bull thing too. I hate it. You know, I hate that there's sponsor names in the fronts of kits.
It's less to me that there is this big sponsor and, you know, whatever Red Bull is doing. The thing that irks me the most is that I associate Red Bull with, I don't know, Red Bull just has like negative connotations. Like I understand it has healing, agents.
Oh, come on,
like,
you're being nice. Yeah, Red Bull is like the, you don't want to be the dude shooting Red Bull at the bar, right? It's like there's a kind of connotation
it's not
there.
Great.
Yeah, I'm sure there are listeners who drink Red Bull. They know. It's not like they think about drinking like, it's not like they think they're drinking like champagne, you know? It's Red Bull. You know, yeah. And then the commercials are really crappy. It's like this like these like thinly, like these pencil drawing commercials, and they're awful. All right. Jess Gabriel, this is a question for you, Brandon. Can you talk about Xerxes' role at Bayern? He's considering him as an enabling fifth mid. And then he says, also is Schubert as a goalkeeper just obvious?
Well, so, I mean, Schubert.
I think he means the composer, right?
Schubert, a great composer, just became a great goalkeeper.
they say there are no second acts, Brandon, but I think that Schubert is proving otherwise.
I was going to say Xerxes is an interesting shout because the last time I saw Xerxes was trying to kill the Ghostbusters on the top of the Empire State Building or something. So
I saw him, he's trying to sack Athens, you know, so it's really...
yeah, so those are the answers to your questions, Gabriel. That's what I got for you.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next question. Anti-hockey fan says, when is Jadon Sancho coming to EPL? Obviously, we don't know this, but when do you think Jadon Sancho, how much longer does he stay at Dortmund, Brandon?
Well, if the world were going according to plan right now and COVID-19 hadn't happened, I would say Sancho would be leading a lot of the transfer rumors this summer. Given where we are right now, it's too difficult to assess what clubs are looking to do going into a new transfer window. When even will that transfer window be? So, I mean, my best guess would be like as soon as possible, Sancho would be like next season.
Yeah.
But I think the hiccup here could actually lead to a no one wants to really put their neck out, and maybe it's another season before Sancho comes. But it has to be imminent because kit sales alone, like Sancho on the back of a Manchester United jersey, they will just fly off the shelves.
Yeah. And, you know, like with like it is very interesting. Like, and I just don't know how much the global economy affects this kind of stuff. It's not really anything that you and I are equipped to answer. But like the fact that, like, you know, oil prices were below zero at one point, like, does that affect any of these wealthy owners that come from, you know, from Middle Eastern countries
that
used oil to build up their finances? I honestly don't know, you know, and so it feels like that could be a factor. It does feel like a strange time for a player. It would stink. If you were a player who was looking to make a big move this summer, this is a nightmare. This is the absolute scariest thing.
I mean, I don't even know if it needs to be a big move. Just thinking of the makeup of the England squad, and you have the Euros on the horizon, and it's kind of a miracle. There are not a lot of players on England's team playing abroad that don't play in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So the fact that Sancho is still included in that team is a testament to his skill, but his marketability, his value as a player will skyrocket when he moves to the Premier League. He will then just be nailed on to the England team. And I think if you're Sancho, you have to be worried. Like, the longer you're out of the view of the regular England fan, the Premier League fan, the trickier it's going to be for you to keep that place in the England squad. So that's got to play into his mind and his agent's mind too, because they talked a lot about this with Harry Maguire. Like, Maguire was a standout central defender, but when he moved to Manchester United, this was him putting a marker down for the England squad.
Yeah.
And that sort of solidified his place there.
It's a good question. I mean, he's been so good for England that I don't know that it's an imminent issue, but yeah, it's certainly a, like, you know, if you were to, you know, lose 6 months with an injury or something like that, you know? So yeah, we'll see. I think you're right though. I do think that it's sooner than later, and Dortmund, are, you know, their ability to sell high is incredible. I mean, like, this team, you know, they always extract money for their top players. I think the one exception was Lewandowski, and that was because Klopp just refused to sell him to Bayern, and so he finally just joined at a free. The idea now that, like, someone like him would join at a free is obviously insane. But
yes,
yeah. All right, so let's. We got two more questions. They're not Bundesliga focused, so we're going to close our Bundesliga section for this week. But a reminder: if you want to join our fantasy game, just become a Patreon supporter, and we will send you all of the information. So, a message from Damian Bird, Brandon. I'll read one question. You can read one. A message from Damian Bird, always cheating Super League leader. Hello, Damian. Says, I'm having the best season of my life. By some miracle, I've made it to 50th in the world. By far my best season. Even more than that, I currently sit at number one in the always cheating Super League. Sadly, there's no getting away from the fact that this season will have an asterisk by it, but that can't stop me being incredibly emotionally invested. This is my question. What do I wish for? With all outcomes still on the table, do I wish for the season cancellation, a top 50 finish safely in the locker, and the always cheating trophy sitting shiny on my mantelpiece? We just say mantle here in the US, Brandon. Or do I wish for a resumption? I'm just noting that. Or do I wish for a resumption in one great, and that's not a dig. Do I wish for a resumption of one great long shot at the ultimate glory and a chaotic last few weeks of the season? What would you wish for? Tricky one.
I mean, first of all, it's great to hear from Damian. It's always a joy to hear from number ones in the Super League, and for this great representation of the Always Cheating Super League, ranked 50 overall in the world. So good on you, Damian. I mean, congratulations on getting this far, which is more than I've ever been able to achieve. But where I'm sitting, Josh, what I would wish for, I would wish for the season to come back. And it's, I think I have a particular character trait where I get itchy when I haven't completed something. And I don't know if it has something to do with some sort of like obsessive compulsive disorder, but I start a project, I have to finish it. I start a book, I don't like the book, but I can't stop reading the book until I've finished the book. And so there is that temptation of, like, I just like to lock in that top 50 finish. And even though there is the asterisk, I'll always have that. But for me, I cannot stop thinking about, it's less what else would have happened. Could I have gotten up to number one overall in the world? Because it's not likely, Damian. It's just, like, the odds are you'd probably drop farther. Maybe you'd drop out of the top 100. The challenge would be, can you stay in the top 1,000?
Yeah.
But that's life. And I want to be out there living life. I want to be out there playing FPL and going the entire distance. I don't think any marathoner is like, you know what, I broke my personal best at the 18 mile mark. It's all measured by where they were at the finish line.
Yeah. And I mean, I think you have to say though, I mean, you know, ending it right now or ending it, you know, in the, you know, with two games a week, looks like there's going to be five substitutions allowed, no one in the stadium. It's really, either way, it's not clean, you know? So I think if it ends right now, I don't think there's any, you know, I don't know. I mean, I hear what you're saying because, you know, I too would like it to end. And if I was 50th, I don't feel like I'd be comfortable. I mean, I honestly, given, you know, how much I got screwed by that second double game week getting canceled and knocked me out of the top 100K, like, I don't want my rank from the season to count. You know, I don't want it to appear in my annual rankings. You know, and so I do think that there's I can understand how it doesn't feel real, you know, until the season's over. But I think, unfortunately, this, you know, thankfully Liverpool, I actually think if Liverpool, if they're able to play some matches this season, Liverpool clinch it, I think it will really feel like a legitimate win because they are so close to clinching it already. You know, I mean, just what one or two more game weeks to go, you know, before they'd ice it, you know, so but we talked about the Liverpool thing before. Yeah, obviously, we don't need to go into it again.
We have. And I think Damian's question, like, I'm coming at it from a fantasy perspective, and I think I've made the case in recent weeks about how I'm generally erring on the side of IRL. They should probably just cancel the season. Like, what is to be gained except for just utter nonsense and chaos? I mean, I'm all for, you know, fantasy managers and Liverpool alike, like, you all did great things and I want you to receive chocolate cakes and, you know, gold stickers. Should you receive a Premier League trophy? That's not for me to decide. I do think it's debatable. But just like from a gaming perspective, where the fantasy game is concerned, it would just kind of like gnaw at me. And so I guess I'm sure it would gnaw at Mo Salah and Jurgen Klopp the same way.
Yeah. But again, yeah, it's, you know, it's one thing in Germany or South Korea where they've been able to corral this thing as much as you can. But I mean, England's much like the US, like it'd be absurd to start any kind of team sport right now in the US. You know, we're just not even remotely close to being ready for that. So I saw that Major League Baseball is now talking about doing an 80-game season that would start sometime in July, you know, so it's just, everything is just funky this year. I'm just going to have to, you know, get used to it.
Embrace the funk.
Yeah, exactly. Or just roll with it. Like, who cares? You know, it's such a weird time. Like, just, it's not anything to get
mad
about.
Be thankful you're alive. Because there are many routes to death.
Yeah,
at this
exactly.
Point.
Exactly. That often feels very trite, but right now it actually feels true. Final question, Mike DiPietro, what pandemic related changes to the view and experience are you most intrigued by? He says, I'm curious to see if the coaching will be easily heard echoing through the empty stadiums. So what pandemic changes to the view and experience are you intrigued by, Brennan?
I saw something about VAR. Did you read anything about that today? Like possible changes to VAR?
No.
So I blew that one. I don't have anything to report there. In terms of watching matches like broadcasts that are occurring in an empty stadium, I want to hear what the players, less the managers, I want to hear what the players are saying. You know, like the big lads at the back, Van Dijk, always like known for commanding people. But I never really actually, I get to see their mouths wide open, but I never get to hear what they're saying. Just mic these guys up. That would be pretty cool. So what do the players say when they're on the pitch in terms of, I mean, do they call for square passes like I do when I'm playing, you know, in a Sunday league? Or do they have some code words like pumpernickel when they're, you know, making an overlapping run? That's what I want to know. Additionally, the goal celebrations. It's less like I think it's jarring less to see how the player celebrates, but to hear the yop, the like primal scream of a player once they've scored, and it is bouncing off of nothing. There, it's not bouncing off of crowd noise. It's just a guy screaming, and it's very weird.
Yeah, that will be strange. And I know that like in the Premier League, they're talking about like no spitting, no goal celebrations. It all feels like a little. I mean, I guess it's fine. Most of the time, you're just playing. I mean, it feels like, you know, no spitting, no goal celebrations.
What about snot rockets?
Well, just like, are you not going to head the ball? Like, how, it's a very physical game. Like, it's not like you defend without touching them, you know? So, you know, it's like, it's nice that they're trying these extra things. But I mean, ultimately, if you're playing, if you're really going to play, you know, it's, you know, you are going to be swapping some fluids, you know, and there's no way around it. I mean, this thing, like, it's like, the drops, the things you can ingest that would give you this are like, you know, it's like the kind of dust particles you see like when the sun comes through in the morning, you know, I mean, it's not like you have to spit in somebody's mouth for, to get this, you know? And so,
yeah.
So it seems kind of silly to be, a stickler about these little things, you know, I mean, is it really more fluid exchange during goal celebration than during like any header, you know, when two yeah. players are going for the ball?
Definitely. You remind me of like all the great Rocky fight scenes where like every punch that's landed, just like millions of beads of sweat, you know, flying in every direction. And that's yeah. what it is to head the ball. It's so true. And yeah, the more they water the game down just to get it on TV, like the less you can even touch the argument of like, listen, the people need this. They need this positive energy in the world. Sport will heal them. Well, no, you just you put some castrated, like metaphorically castrated athletes on TV. It's you then realize, oh, you're just trying to generate ad revenue here, and the fans will quickly see through it.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, maybe people are so desperate that they'll just accept anything. I guess I'm probably in that boat where I'm just like, I don't know, you know, it's like, don't celebrate. I don't care. Like, don't touch each other. Like, just give me something to watch where a ball is kicked around, you know, like that's all right. On that note, I think that's that, Brandon. I think we can get out of here. Unless you have any final thoughts there.
No, just Mönchengladbach. Check out my extensive blog post on them, and it's
Medium post. Yeah,
yeah. Hit me up with any questions you have. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
If you would like to join our Bundesliga Fantasy League, go to patreon.com/alwaystreaty. By the way, if you are a current patron and you're like, hey, I haven't received this information yet, it's because we haven't sent it out. We are waiting until this pod to roll all that stuff out. So that will be coming your way shortly. So go to patreon.com/alwaystreaty to sign up. You can say thanks and support what we do, and access to Slack, access to this league, extra podcasts whenever that is an appropriate thing to start doing again. Lots of other good stuff. So a quick thank you to all of our producer patrons. Brandon, I think you've done it the last couple of times, so I'll do a thank you this week.
Right on. Yeah.
Thank you to Trevor Ingerson, Mike DePietro, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Chris Carter, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer. By the way, a special big thanks to Mike DePietro for kicking into the Support the Black Horse Fund. There may have been a couple other producers and patrons who did as well. I know there are some other patrons who did. Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gaffer, Babas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Jazz Binning, who is a Black Horse employee, Dave Wagner, Lodell, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Frederick Kian Gransky, Travis West, Alan Creasy, Victor Forberg, Skogang, Paul Hertzik, Kaya Kirsting Leleng, Stian Niehaus, Barry McGuire, Peter Boddicktel, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Andy Martin. Andy, congrats on all the championship manager stuff. Lindsay Rostell, Anton Markov, FPLmerch.com, and James Conroy.
And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the Always Cheating Podcast. Never miss an episode. Make sure you're subscribed. We're at all the usual places: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Acast, all that jazz. Follow us on social media: Twitter @HailCheaters, Instagram @HailCheaters, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. I rewatched The Social Network on Netflix last night, Josh, and the movie holds up. You know, very mixed feelings about Facebook.
Yeah.
After watching something like that, but
you did before watching that, I believe.
Probably, yeah. But we're still there. We love anyone who is on Facebook, and we want to find you there. Also, send us an email: hailcheaters@gmail.com for all this and more, including the Always Cheating Shop, where you can buy a coffee mug, a T-shirt, a sweatshirt. Our fulfillment officers are standing by. We are operating safely, though, so the orders are taking, you know, like a week or longer to get out the door, but we are open for business at alwayscheating.com.
That's right. Brandon, thank you for joining me on this Bundesliga journey that we just took. You and I think we learned a lot. We learned how to pronounce Werder Bremen, and did some of the things too, most of which I'm forgetting about right now. So
Dankeschön.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week with our Bundesliga recap podcast. I'm looking forward to it. Maybe we'll know some more player names by then. It'll be pretty exciting.
Outstanding. Poku forever.
Yeah, cheaters.